Welcome to the Ray of Hope Church podcast. We believe that hope changes everything, so get ready for an encouraging message from the Word of God. We pray that you would receive wisdom and revelation as you grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Waylon. Thank you, guys. I didn't get to be here at the beginning of the worship service. I was in the foyer, and then this afternoon, Corey said, we had a rough start this morning. I don't know what the problem was. And then he figured out, he said, I was the problem. So I never did see that. You know, as I was here this morning listening to the great word of God that Pastor Matt preached on the journey, and I stood over there during worship, and even this morning tonight, I felt like I was pulling the car in and getting filled up. Have you ever come to church, you feel like you're just getting filled up, and you're getting ready to face the week or face the journey or whatever. And I want to begin tonight just to tell you, I want to just dovetail and continue with what Pastor Matt started about the journey. And we're going to go on a journey tonight. Journeys are not always easy. Sometimes there are passengers, as Matt said, that are difficult. Someone in the back seat saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And you know the story of the little boy who kept saying that. And the dad says, if you say that one more time, I'm going to pull this car over. And then finally, a few miles down the road, he said, Dad, well, I'll still be 6 years old when we get there. So that was another way of addressing the problem. You know, for years, we would go to Mexico, and we would do mission works different ways and different people. But Alan, who's sitting here to my left, and different ones, would go to Mexico and build houses, go to orphanages, show the Jesus Video Project. And I would assume we've taken probably well over 100 teenagers over the years down there and built several houses and different things to help churches. In some of the most impoverished areas of Mexico, people are living in basically pallet homes with dirt floors with blue tarps pulled over the top of it, just eking out a living. And it was just so wonderful to have my kids exposed to that and the different things in missions and ministry. But one of the interesting stories is Randy Scott. Randy's a member here, and I saw him this morning. And Randy would be a part of that trip, and Alan said that we would stop and get gasoline, and it wouldn't be very long that someone would have to go to the bathroom, we'd have to pull over. And then we'd stop, and he said, I noticed we were pulling over all the time, and it's going to take us forever to get to Mexico. And he said, I noticed that every time Randy would pull over, he would get a big gulp, something to drink. And after several stops, Alan said, Randy, if I see you with another big gulp, we're never going to get to Mexico. Well, sometimes there are things that help us to get on the journey, some things hinder us on the journey. So let's talk about one person, I think, that would help us have a little bit more interesting journey and a little bit informative and productive journey. And his name is Andrew. Andreas is actually the Greek term. And you may know him. His name means manly. So he's from Bethsaida, north side of the Sea of Galilee, about where the Jordan River enters the Sea of Galilee. Bethsaida means the house of fish because there's a lot of fishermen there. That is where the fishermen that Jesus called were originally from. And fitting that Andrew and Peter are both fishermen because they're from Bethsaida. He is first mentioned in John chapter 1. Let's pick it up in verse 35. Again, the next day, John, we're talking about John the Baptist, stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak. They followed Jesus. When Jesus turned, seeing them following, said to them, What do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So we assume, just inferring from the verse, that they stayed with him possibly until 4 o'clock that afternoon, or possibly they just arrived at 4, but we think the former is the most correct translation. So this is the first encounter that we have with Andrew, and the first encounter we know that Andrew has with Jesus. So just a few things about your and I's journey. Our journey is always personal. Your journey is always personal. I was thinking when I was getting ready to come today of an old Woody Guthrie song. Some of you have no clue who Woody Guthrie is. He was born in Okemah, Oklahoma, and his most famous song, I would say, "This Land Is Your Land, This Land Is My Land," and some of you are looking at me like, I still don't know who he is, but anyway. But there was a song that he had written called Lonesome Valley, and here are the words to it, just a few. You got to walk that lonesome valley. You got to walk it by yourself. Nobody here can walk it for you. You just got to walk it all by yourself. You know, your personal journey is just walk by yourself because nobody else can walk it for you. I mean, we may have a lot of coaches. We may have mentors. We have people who love us. But listen, this journey for the Lord and journey of the Lord, this personal journey is always a one-on-one deal. Because nobody, mama can't walk it for you, dad can't, grandparents can't. You got to have this personal one-on-one journey with Jesus. So it's always personal. Now, everyone's on a journey, but not everyone is on a journey that's including God on the journey. So we know so many people, and according to the Bible, most people are walking the broad road that leads to destruction. Few are on the narrow road leading to eternal life, but everybody's on a road. But our road that we're on with Christ is leading somewhere. And the Bible says it's leading to eternal life. We're not just looking for eternal life. If we've accepted Jesus Christ, we have eternal life, and we're moving in that vein of eternal life, going to eternity. Now, in Genesis chapter 5, and this is thematic through the Bible, it says that Enoch walked with God. And we know that he walked with God and was not. It was a prefiguring of the rapture, if you will. That a righteous person who's walking with God, God loved him, God took him, and one day God will take us. And so he walked with God. Then we have the next phase, if you will, of someone walking with God, and that's Noah. The Bible says Noah was a righteous man who walked with God. In chapter 17 of Genesis, to Abraham, he says, "I'm the Almighty God, Abraham, walk before me and be blameless." So the patriarchs, they walked with God. And you and I are walking with God. We're walking in his way. And if you say, well, what does that look like? The Bible does give us some insight to it. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 6. "Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord, your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him." So what does it mean to walk with God? You walk in his ways. You reverence God. You fear God. Not that I'm afraid of God, but I realize that God is an awesome God. He's the God who has all the power, the authority in heaven and earth. This is Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23. "But this is what I command them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. You shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be well with you." So here again, we have inference, we have verses, we have these things about this illustrative walk with God. And that personal journey means something for each and every one of us. People can show us the way, but we have to walk it out individually. We're responsible for our own progress. We're responsible for the direction, and we're responsible for our intensity and our passion. So nobody can do those things for me. They can example them. They can share them. They can develop them. But I have to have that own personal responsibility. My journey, my walk is very personal, and so is yours. But we live in a day today that everybody is blaming everybody else for their dilemma. You know, something that could happen 100 years ago, people are still blaming people for what happened 100 years ago. Now, obviously, things do happen. There are travesties in life. But there has to come a place where you accept personal responsibility. And we live in a generation where people don't do that a whole lot anymore. It's always somebody else's fault. And here we know that when we get to the judgment bar, if you will, you and I are going to stand there alone. For every person must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It doesn't say that your whole family's going to be there. They will be there, but you will be there individually, and you'll be there personally, and so shall I. So when James is instructing us on how to handle the trials, the tribulations of life, the temptations on the journey, he speaks of certain things, and I want to share those with you tonight. He says we have to have endurance in trials and in temptations. We have to control our own desires, our own lust. We have to watch and be aware of deception. It's everywhere around us today. You've heard me say whenever I watch television, many times I only get into a program so long and I have to turn it off because I just can't take the message anymore. And now I have to turn the commercials off because the commercials are in some way invading us with what they want you to think, see, and how you should behave. And it used to be very subtle, and it's not subtle anymore. And so we have to be very aware of that. James 1:19, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." But what I want you to catch is this line, three words, "let every person" or "let every man." So what he says that although we have to understand that corporately, we have to understand that in society, but it comes down to what every person, do you see it? So every man, every woman has to come to these issues that we are responsible. So your journey is very, very personal. When Andrew's journey is revealed to us, it's beginning with desire to be a disciple of John the Baptist. So that's where we pick up the story. And this voice crying in the wilderness must have resonated to something in Andrew. Andreas heard something that must have pricked his heart. And we know what John was preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But something about that message resonated in Andrew's heart. It drew him to the kingdom message. It drew him to John, who was preaching that he was preparing the way for somebody else. When I went back and read this week, I saw something that I'm sure I've read many, many times, but this is what John said. He said, "He is preferred before me," talking about the Messiah, Jesus. He said, "He's preferred before me." And then he says, "For he was before me." Well, now, wait a minute, John. You're about 6 months older than Jesus, but yet you're saying that he is before you. Maybe you got this out of sync, because when Mary came with the Annunciation, remember, Elizabeth already had you in her womb, and you leaped in her womb, and you were filled with the Holy Spirit. But listen, John's not talking about that first encounter. He's talking about the divine person, the God-man that existed far beyond Bethlehem. He said he is not only preferred before me, but he is and was before me. And so here is this message that Andrew is drawn to, and there is something in there that just captures his heart. Now, the second thing, not only is our journey personal, our journey needs to be progressive. Say that with me, progressive. Let's say it again. Here we go, progressive. Now, John is pointing his disciples not just to himself. Remember, he must increase and I must decrease was the message of John. John knew that he wasn't the Messiah. People were asking, "Are you the Messiah?" And John said, "No, I'm not him, but I'm preparing the way for him to come." So he is pointing to Jesus, and Andrew actually responds. This is verse 37. The two disciples heard him speak. They followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and seeing them follow, said, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "Teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came, saw where he was staying, remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So there's something about not only Andrew being drawn to John, now he's drawn to Jesus. Point being, many believers get to a certain place in their life and they park it. A lot of people grow to a certain level and they don't grow beyond that. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly, and I don't want to be offensive. I know people personally, they will not read anything outside of their denomination. They will not step foot anything beyond of what they know. Let me tell you something. You and I need to continually be learning about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be continually consuming the Word of God. Every revelation that we have should be pursued if it's in the Word of God, if it's biblical, if it is an experience that the Bible speaks about. We don't want to be limited by what we heard in the past and never moving forward from that point on. So not only is this journey personal, this journey is also to be progressive, because we should be progressing in our walk with God. We should be learning in our walk with God. We should be getting deeper in our walk with God. Can I hear an amen to that? So your journey should not be static. Your journey should be the acceptance of truth and revelation as the Holy Spirit works in our personal life. And our whole church, we need to be growing in the knowledge and the wisdom of Jesus Christ. I mean, where do you get to the point to say, I've learned it all? I know it all. I've experienced it all. Let me tell you something. That will never, ever happen. Because we serve a God that is so much higher and deeper than we could ever imagine. I always think about, in the book of Ezekiel, that river that began to flow. Do you remember? It began to flow, and so Ezekiel, he just stepped out in the river. It's washing over the top of his feet. Then he goes to his ankles. Then he goes to his knees, to his thighs. And all of a sudden, he said, it's so deep. He said, I can't touch bottom. I'm swimming in this thing. Let me tell you, the kingdom of God's kind of like that. You get in the shallow end. But how many of you know God doesn't want you to stay in the shallow end? I've told this story for years of Steve and I, and we were raised a little bit weird, I'm just going to tell you. Mom and Dad did the best they could with us, but we were just two big old farm ranch kids that didn't have a lot of sense. Mother, she decided one day, we need to learn how to swim. Well, I thought we already knew. We've been swimming for years. We've been swimming in lakes, farm ponds. Mom said, no, I'm going to take you up to the municipal pool, Red Cross. How many of you remember when they used to do that? They're teaching you how to swim. Okay, Mom, we'll go. She took us up there. Well, let me tell you what they do. They start you at the very bottom. They put you in the shallow water. Here's Steve and I. We're big old kids. Everybody else about this tall. Here we are about this high up. And they said, now we're going to teach you how to swim. So put your arm, put your face down, back and forth, blow bubbles. We're blowing bubbles. Dumbest thing. So we go through several days. And we're in the shallow end blowing bubbles with little kids. You know where we want to be? On that high diving board up there doing cannonballs off the top. Because we could do that. We could swim the length of the pool. But Mom said, no, we're going to start at the beginning. Okay, Mom. But the good thing is we didn't stay in the shallow end. And the great news here is that nobody here has to stay in the shallow end. If you stay in the shallow end, it's because you personally decided to stay in the shallow end. How many of you know there's deeper waters like Ezekiel told us? He said we can get deeper and deeper and deeper. So Andrew's journey is actually moving forward. His journey is going forward, and there's so many people that have gotten stuck in their journey, and they just haven't progressed much. And you don't do it overnight. I mean, we all know that. So question, are we willing to grow? Are we willing to launch out into the deep? Are we going to grow in some more truth? Are we going to walk out this walk with God, this journey with God every day, and looking for us to get deeper as we go? This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Therefore, laying aside all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So the first thing he says here is there's some stuff you got to lay aside. Notice he says malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking. So, you know, we have to control our heart, our tongue, have to control some things in our life. Then he said we desire the milk of the word, this pure milk, this sincere milk of the word. And this is what we know he's referring to, that babies drink milk. babies drink milk. And that's what we all do. I don't care when you were saved, what age you were, if you were 5, if you were 25 or 35, everybody starts as a babe in Christ. All of us do. And in that relationship, in that journey, you start where you are. And sometimes I have people over the years that are embarrassed that they don't know maybe what you know or I know, or they're just beginning. And I always tell them, listen, you just begin where you are. And if you take someone and you're saying, turn to this book in the Bible or whatever book it is, how many of you know some people don't know where that's at? That's okay. You start where you are. I mean, don't be embarrassed. You just say, this is where I am. And I always say, there's a wonderful index in the front of your Bible that'll tell you where these books are. But as you grow, guess what? You realize, okay, after this book is this book, and this passage talks about this, and this gospel really focuses on the deity of Christ, this on the kingship of Christ, this on this. So as we grow, we just know some things we didn't know when we started, and that's okay. So he says, we desire the sincere milk of the word, because the milk is for babies and toddlers. So I had a FaceTime with Aaron today, and he had the two twins with him, and I'm on my iPad, and both of them have sippy cups, and they're both crying because they want more milk in their sippy cups. Now, if I see you at 35 with a sippy cup, I may question your maturity. But in the spirit, that may be where we have to start. But notice the Bible says that we move up, we start there. And then later, Paul would talk about, he said, that you might have the meat of the word. The meat of the word. So, you know, I'm not going to cut up a big T-bone steak and give it to, you know, a six-month-old, because they could choke on that. And guess what? So can people. They can choke on some of the word because they're just not there yet. So every journey is personal. Every journey is progressive. So we're all moving to that place where we began, personal, progressive, and here's the third thing, every journey is relational. Every journey is relational. Now, let me tell you why. I want you to go back with me to John chapter 1, and I'm going to go to verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon, said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ or the Anointed One, and he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which translated is a stone. So the first thing, once that Andrew finds Christ, he finds his brother, Peter. So what we see is that Andrew now has become a connector. Everybody say connector. Here we go, connector. So our journey is not only personal, progressive, but it's also relational. Because in your journey with the Lord, you're going to come across a lot of people in your life. And your journey, even though it's personal, it should also be relatable. And there's two primary things in your journey that will be paramount in it being relational. Number one is you speak what the word speaks. And number two, you speak your own personal testimony. Nobody can give your testimony like you. And let me tell you why. You know all the details. You know all the emotions. You know how it felt. You know all the facts. And it's real. So when you share the word of God, let me just give you a little bit of advice here. When you share the word of God, not only do you share the word of God, but you also share your life and your life testimony with that. Because when we do that, we're doing two things. This is what the word says, and this is how the word affected me. This is the presence of God. This is the spirit of God. This is the Savior. But this is how this encounter, this is how Jesus has affected my life personal. And let me tell you, this will make a difference in somebody's life. So we are relational. Here, Andrew has become a connector. In John chapter 6, I had to go back and look at this. I thought, you know, I think this is right. I was telling Pastor Matt, I said, I got to go back and look what I'm thinking. How many of you ever thought what you thought was right? You had to reconnect. You had to go back and check it again. So in John chapter 6, this is the feeding of the 5,000. Now, Jesus knew what he was going to do. The Bible's very clear. But he turns to them when he knows this crowd has been with him all afternoon, all day. They're hungry. And the disciples said, I think you need to let them go. You've preached long enough. Let them go to McDonald's. Let them go to IHOP. Let them go somewhere and get some food. And this is what Jesus said, you feed them. You feed them. And I'm sure they thought about that comment. What do you mean, you feed them? So Philip said, where can we buy food that all these people could eat? And then he adds this. Have you ever got ready to buy something, you had to look in your billfold before you paid for it? Let me tell the story. I just thought about this. Some of our kids played college football. And one time we went up to watch them play, and it was a home game, and they were actually allowed to go with us after the game. And so Aaron and Jacob was with Mary, Randy, and I. And we went to one of these kind of all-you-could-eat buffets. Well, not only did our families go, but there were some other football players that went with us. And so we're going in to this all-you-could-eat buffet place, and we got these football players. And I noticed, and I think Randy noticed it too, that some of these guys who were with us got in line to get their food, and some of them pulled out their billfolds, and they began to look. These college players looked to see if they had enough money to pay for the meal. And when I saw that, without consulting with Randy, I said, that's okay, Randy and I'll pay everybody's meal, which we did. But these guys were trying to figure out if they had enough money to pay for the meal. And of course, we went in there, all you could eat. You can imagine how many plates and bowls these guys stacked up. I mean, they ate like it was nobody's business. But every once in a while, you just wonder, do we have enough money? And Philip said, 200 denarii worth of food would be insufficient to feed all these people. Listen, there's 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So I think Philip kind of knew how much was in the bank. Now, Judas kept the treasury, but I think Philip kind of knew how much was in the bag. And he said, even if we could provide food for all these people, we don't have enough money. But then Andrew speaks up. Let's go back to Andrew. Andrew speaks up and he said, hey guys, there's a kid here that has 5 loaves and 2 small fish. You see, Andrew is what? He's the connector. So on your journey and my journey, it is possible that we actually could connect to people who have an answer for the very thing that we need. Wow. It could be Philip saying, there's no way we can do that. And oh, Andrew says, well, wait a minute. I connected with this kid over here that could not have an answer to what our need is. Do you know all the things we're trying to do at Ray of Hope? We have the school. We're building buildings. We're into missions. We're into schools. We're into all kinds of things. The next person that you connect with who walks through this door may have an answer for a need that we might have here in this body. Wow, that just makes me excited. That's why you and I need to connect. We need to share our faith. We need to share our testimony. We need to share the word of God, share our life. Because when we connect, what happens? God brings people in that has answers for what he is going to do with what they bring. You say, well, 5 loaves, 2 small fish, that's not enough. Well, let me tell you, you get it in the hands of Jesus, it's going to be more than enough. Wow. It's going to be more than enough. So we see here, he is a connector. John chapter 12. There were certain Greeks who came to worship during the Passover. These Greeks came to Philip. So we're back to Philip again. The Greeks came to Philip and said, we want to see Jesus. And Philip goes to Andrew. Why did he do that? Andrew keeps connecting people to Jesus. Philip takes the Greeks and he doesn't go directly to Jesus. He goes to Andrew. And he says, Andrew, these Greeks want to see Jesus. And Andrew says, okay, let's go take him to Jesus. This guy's just connecting. He gets his brother. He gets the kid with the fish and the loaves. He gets the Greeks. Everywhere you read about Andrew, he's connecting somebody to Jesus. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? That should be our journey. Here's the last one here. Our journey needs to be transformational. Now, what happened to Andrew because we lose him in Scripture? He's not mentioned anymore. Matter of fact, I think the last time that he's mentioned is he's in the upper room waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, a rushing mighty wind comes into that upper room. It fills those who were sitting in that upper room. They begin to speak in cloven tongues like as of fire. They go to the streets of Jerusalem. They turn the world upside down. And we lose Andrew in biblical account. But the early church fathers and early church history continues the saga of Andrew. So according to church history, Andrew went north to preach the gospel. He preached around the Black Sea to the Scythians, which is up north, in regions of Ukraine to Kiev. He preached in Russia. Andrew is the patron saint of Ukraine, Romania, Russia, and Scotland. So once we lose him in Scripture, history picks up. He continues to preach the gospel, and he goes north. Stephen went east, different places the apostles went. Some never made it out of that area because they were martyred. But Andrew just goes north. So it was odd to me this week when I began to study that he preached to both the Ukrainians and the Russians who are now trying to kill each other, and they both say Andrew is our patron saint. A little different, isn't it? But later, Andrew is crucified in Greece in the province of Achaia. And when he's crucified, like Peter, this is church history, when Peter was crucified, he said, "Don't crucify me like my Lord because I'm not worthy." He said, "Crucify me upside down." So when it comes to Andrew, he said something similar. He said, "Don't crucify me on a cross like my Lord. Crucify me on a different cross." And the cross that they built for him was the X cross. You will see it in church icons, imagery. You'll see it in flags all over. So when you see in religious symbols the X, it's nothing to be afraid of. It is the cross of St. Andrew. And you're going to see it over and over and over now that you've heard that. So Andrew was crucified. They didn't nail him to the cross. They tied him to the cross, and they left him there until he died. So his life, not only was his life transformed, his journey was transformational in that he preached from city to city, from country to country, transforming the lives of people through the gospel. You know, I don't transform a life, you don't transform a life, but what we say, what we do, can connect them to the one who can transform our lives, amen? And that's Jesus Christ. So tonight, as we look at the journey, we have to look at aspects of the journey. And maybe you don't break it down like this. I wanted to kind of say, okay, what does the journey look like? Yeah, it's personal. I mean, nobody can make this road, make this walk with me except me. You can be alongside of me, but I've got to choose to have this journey. This journey is personal. This journey is relational. This journey is transformational. So let me encourage you. This journey is exciting. A lot of us, we've been on this journey for a long, long time, and I'm going to tell you, it's exciting. I mean, I still get up in the morning. I'm excited about my journey with Jesus. You say, "Well, Pastor Mike, you know, sometimes the excitement wears off." No, sometimes there's trouble, but the excitement is still there. So I want you to just think about how that we should be transforming the people around our life. And that's possible. And I'm going to guess something, that you've been around somebody who's helped transform your life as they connected you, like Andrew was a connector to Jesus Christ. So what would happen in the next 2 or 3 weeks if you would make this personal decision, like just, okay, Lord, let it happen. God, who could I connect with in the next 2 or 3 weeks? Would you open the door for me to connect with somebody to share maybe a word, an encouragement, a prayer, a testimony, or whatever? And this is what I believe. I believe we serve the God who opens doors. He is the one who opens doors in our life. You don't have to kick doors down. You just pray that God would just open a door for you. And as he does, just step in it and say, let me share something with you. Let me just give you a word. I got one this week, and it kind of helped me. Someone said, if you will always face the sun, the shadow will always be behind you. Sometimes we just don't turn the right way. We're turned here, we're turned there. But if you always face the light, all those dark shadows just keep falling behind you. So turn the right way, journey in the right direction. And that's why in the journey in the wilderness, can I tell you what tribe always went first that faced the rising sun? It was the tribe of Judah, the tribe that Jesus was from. So he's always in front of your journey, leading the way and leading you and I to where we should go. Can I hear an amen there? Can you receive that today? Would you stand with me? We're going to come and pray, but before you leave, I've asked at the end of this message that we're going to sing a song together, but let's do it around the front. Would you make your way up here? Waylon Wendy's going to help us out here, the musicians. I'll get enough air to say something here in a minute. So I'm going to pray that God would help us on our journey, and then we're going to end with a song tonight, and it's going to be a song that you know. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. We love you. We praise you tonight. God, help us to be some connectors in our community. Help us to reach out, Lord, to those around us. Help us to realize that we're responsible for our walk. We're responsible to share. We're responsible to transform our life and to show that transformation to other people around us. So, Lord, we're so grateful that you care for each and every one of us tonight. And God, I want to encourage all of us to rest in your strength, to rest in your power, and rest in your word and your care, your grace, your love for us tonight. So, Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we ask that you would just be with each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, and everybody said.
We are so thankful you joined us today. We would love to hear from you at rayofhopepodcast@gmail.com. Let us know how you were encouraged and how we can pray for you. Remember, Christ in you is the hope of glory, and hope changes everything.